You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always reads between the lines until he sees a car coming, Pete Chwaba.
All right. Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight, and we are kicking off Act 2 here on a beautiful, supposed to be snowy night as we move on here in northeast Wisconsin. Be careful out there if you're driving late. Con, what does your app say about Madison, Milwaukee tomorrow?
I usually don't look at Madison, Milwaukee. Probably what? Should.
We are on statewide, my friend. That is inexcusable. We will see what we can find out for all of you folks listening in Madison and Milwaukee. But there is going to be some weather here in northeast Wisconsin. It is great to have you with me, folks. I am Pete Chwaba. This is Nightlight. Conrad Krieger working the board. We just had a great talk with Mike Clemens. So much fun talking to Mike about the Bears and the Packers. Man, does that guy know his stuff.
Yeah. It was, you know, if you didn't watch the game, you pretty much just watched the game right there.
Exactly. And, you know, Mike was here Friday, and we kept him for like an hour. He ended up sticking with us through Barbie on Friday night. And then I forgot about this. He stuck around for like another 45 minutes, and we were just kind of shooting the breeze back here after the show was over, which I'm sure thrilled you because I still had work to do, so you could get out of here. But Mike and I were hanging like a couple of pals. It was fun. Speaking of sports, you had a great prediction, Conrad. Tell the fine listeners what your prediction was.
Well, if for those of you who don't know what my favorite sport is, it's basketball. And I pay a lot of attention to Badger basketball. And, I make the call. This great show that we do with Jimmy Cuska, Parker Olson, and Greg Gunderson, I'm part of it, part of the roundtable. And we talk at 7 a.m. Well, we do a pre-record, but it's 7 a.m. with top seven sports stories of the week.
Yeah.
And this week, obviously, Marquette faced Wisconsin, in-state rivalry, and I had a prediction, and let's just say it was pretty good.
Pretty spot on.
I am super hype. I can't wait to see John Blackwell and Nick Boyd put up, you know, maybe 20 and 30 on the Marquette Golden Eagles. The Golden Eagles aren't that good this year. They're 5-4, and they've lost to not that great teams, but one against, like, terrible teams. So I'm thinking we're going to win by 20 points. I'm putting it there.
Ooh, I like it.
Tell us the final score.
It was 96-76.
Can it really, well done, tip of the hat, but can that really be, it is a rivalry.
Yes.
But when you don't hate the other team, it's not like Bears, Packers, no, Cubs, Brewers. It's like, my parents went to Marquette. They met there. My brothers and my son went to UW-Madison. I love Madison. Like, I would cheer for both of those teams.
You know, there,
it's like a happy rivalry, and those are no fun.
I do know some people that, you know, did get really into it.
Yeah.
And they hate the Badgers because they're Marquette fans, because they're from Milwaukee or something, you know. And it's like they always want to see Marquette win against them. But it's like Wisconsin just always plays better those days. So
right.
I feel like the guys do feel it, though, like during those games.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, who am I to? I still have all 4 years of eligibility left on both.
You're going to
play schools,
Marquette?
So, yeah, exactly. Hey, we got some fun. Sydney Politics on the stream was at the Godfather of Green Bay screening last Thursday night at the Atwood Music Hall. Again, for all of you that came out and celebrated the 20th anniversary of the Godfather of Green Bay, I was thrilled to meet some of you. It was fun to show the movie again. And Sydney shared a photo of he and his girlfriend. Her name escaped me, but the three of us looking up at, if somebody took the picture, I think it might have been Zommers, because it looked like it was coming down from like 20 feet, and he's a very tall individual. So it was fun, though. Thank you very much, Sydney, for sharing the photo. And he says, remember the Titans. Easy, hands down. Our pal Terry Barr, watching and or listening on the stream, says, any given Sunday. Now, Conrad, I think we need to remind the people what our question of the night is. Let's roll it, buddy.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite football movie? We are in the throes of football season. approaching the playoffs. A Bear-Packer game yesterday in a rivalry that was discussed in my film, The Godfather of Green Bay, which we showed last Thursday night. So what is your favorite football film? I say All the Right Moves, and with a close second, Remember the Titans. But I'm all, Mike listed like four really good movies all about football. Oh, yeah. I also loved Heaven Can Wait with Warren Beatty and Julie Christie and Charles Grodin, who's hilarious in it. So I added a third. We've got some great responses. And Conrad said The Longest Yard, both of them.
Yeah, both versions. Okay. I didn't find the Burt Reynolds one until later because obviously when I was young, just Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite actors, but that Burt Reynolds one was great too.
Yeah, it was really good. Rita from the 608 says, No Packers, No Life is the best.
There we go.
That is another fun Packer movie made by our pal Craig.
Craig Benzine.
Craig Benzine. Oh my God, I'm losing it. Craig was at the Godfather Green Bay screening too. It was great to see him out there. Thank you, Craig, and congrats again on making a great movie. As Rita will attest to. Also, Christine in the 414 says Invincible from 2006 about Vince Papale and the Philadelphia Eagles. Vince, I think, is that a typo or is that the name? I remember that movie. I think Mark Wahlberg was my least favorite actor ever, played a guy who doesn't need to make another movie. We've seen it all, Mark. Stop. But thank you, Christine. Appreciate that. Stacy says Wildcats. Stacy's in the 608. Yeah, Woody and Goldie, I think, were in that. 1986, I remember I was in Chicago. They filmed that at Lane Tech High School, and that is worth a rewatch. I have to go back and check that out. Tom from Monona in the 608 says The Longest Yard. Great choice. Tom, we've heard a lot of Longest Yard options tonight. And then Matt from Middleton in the 608. Actually, he's in the 512, which makes no sense, but we'll go with it anyway. He says, what happened to Netflix showing their movies in the theater? Thought they considered that a while back. I would say Death Race 2000 or Alita Battle Angel, as they have sports in them, if they count. Sure they count, Matt. There's no right or wrong answer. And Netflix does show a movie in the theater, even though they seem to hate theaters, just to be Oscar eligible.
And what, they're
they do
doing
make some good movies.
They're doing it with Stranger Things, right? The finale episode. And that's like 2.5 hours long.
And this movie, Train Dreams, which is on Netflix right now, too, which is supposed to be great. I have to check that out as well. Okay, so we've got a lot of fun. Bob Dennis will be here at 6:35 talking about mob ties to Wisconsin, which should be fun. And then we've got Bridget Zilke from the Wade House, one of the great Wisconsin historical sites. She's going to be here to talk about a great event they have coming up. You're here on a great night, folks. And turning our attention now, I love when Wisconsin filmmakers join the show. This next gentleman is, we've never had him on before, but he's got a great movie coming out called Baristas versus Billionaires. And it's going to be at the Barrymore this week for two nights. And the filmmaker has agreed graciously to join us here tonight to talk about this, what sounds like just a phenomenal film, Mr. Glenn Silber. Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for making this work short notice. It's great to have you here. And I love having guests on the show that I've never met, but I realize when I do my research that I've seen your work before. You've had this prolific career making documentaries and TV specials and all kinds of work, and I applaud you because your resume is incredible. You're also a University of Wisconsin grad. That's not lost on our audiences here, so congratulations on that.
Barely grad.
Oh, I like you even more now. I was a solid C student, so I can kind of relate to that last statement you made there, Glenn. So you're a very accomplished documentarian, but do you have a favorite football movie? I have to ask you that first.
You know, I did. I was trying to think of it. I was desperately trying to think of it. It was one that's probably from the late 60s or 70s, and I was racking my brain, and I just can't remember it. It's one where it was based on a biography of a Dallas Cowboy lineman, I think. And it's a great movie where they are just having a bitter rivalry. And at the end, they go to win the game, and the field goal kicker clunks it off the upright. And I'll have to get back to you on the title. I just couldn't remember it. It's a great film based on a biography of, I'm pretty sure, a Dallas Cowboy pro.
Are you thinking of North Dallas 40?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's a great movie. It was one of the first movies I saw on HBO when I was like in sixth grade or something, and I couldn't believe I was watching
that. Well, I can't remember much of anything anymore, so thank you for finding that and resurrecting. It'll save me some sleep tonight.
Well, I'm glad. Happy to help any way I can. This is really fun. You're an Oscar-nominated, Emmy-nominated filmmaker. Your work has won WGA awards and all kinds of great stuff. You've got Baristas versus Billionaires at the Barrymore this week. Tell us about this really cool-sounding documentary and where you got the idea.
Well, let me start by saying this is the first film in a 50-year career that I was not the director. I was called by the director, who's a friend of mine, named Mark Morai, and he'd been working on it for 2 years, and he was really in a bad way because he just couldn't see the movie anymore. He had a very long rough cut, and he asked me to look at it, and one thing led to another, and I wound up spending the last 8 months working on it with him to get it into shape. And it's really, I mean, we took out 20 minutes of a kind of a long rough cut, added material, rewrote everything. And I'm pretty good at, you know, doctoring documentaries. And I signed on to it because after we got rid of the first 12 minutes, you could really see a film starting to emerge with these great young characters. And the film is really, Baristas versus Billionaires tells the story of the inside story of the Starbucks Workers United Union, which started 4 years ago in Buffalo, New York, a town the same size as Madison, pretty much. And it was really just a small, young group of kids who were pissed off at how they were being treated. It wasn't just about pay. It was really about, you know, their practices of speeding them up and not having enough staff and not treating them with much respect. And they formed the very first Starbucks Union store ever in Buffalo, New York. And they won the elections, and it caught fire. And within the next couple of years, they were signing up 5 stores a week, all winning their own elections. And what's so amazing about it, by the time it started traveling all over the country, there's a quote I love from the store in Memphis, where they went and won an election. And the organizer there, who is like a 22-year-old young woman's call, says, "I would call it a millennial and Gen Z uprising for the workplace." She started out earlier in that quote saying, you know, I didn't think I could be in a union. I'm like a fast food worker. And wow, that really says a lot too. And so these people all over the country now, they had won elections in over 600 stores in the last 4 years, 12,000 workers who are now union workers in Starbucks, taking on a massive brand who is not the store we used to think about it 40 years ago.
Right.
So when I saw those young people in the rough cut, I was sold. I was just charmed by them.
What do you say to people, like, when you have a film like this? There's a sentiment out there I've noticed on social media where there are people that don't think they deserve benefits. And so many people defend billionaires who could easily afford to take care of people. But do we have a masochistic outlook in our society or something? Think about that. We're going to do a very quick break, Glenn, and then let's come back and address that question. Glenn Silber is here. He is one of the producers of the film Baristas versus Billionaires. It's playing Wednesday and Thursday night in Madison at the Barrymore. It just looks like a fantastic film. We're going to come back and have a few more minutes with Glenn before we let him go. Bob Dennis is here at 6:35. It is great to have you, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. You pick up little dynamite, well, I'm gonna pick up little gun. Every woman on our house tonight, make that highway run. You don't have to call me lieutenant, I don't wanna be your son.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. Lots of show still to come. Bob Dennis, our Northeast Wisconsin mob expert, will be here in just a few minutes. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we've got, we're going to talk a little bit about the Wade House, one of the many great Wisconsin Historical Society campuses, if you will, with Bridget Zilke. She'll be here shortly. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, the very accomplished documentarian Glenn Silber, who is a Wisconsin native. Glenn, are you do you not live in Wisconsin anymore?
No, I live in, I was here for 12 years, starting in as a student, and I then wound up doing some work for the corporate world in terms of making a living for a while. That was interesting, for CBS News and ABC News. And now I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Which is delightful. Very nice.
Yeah, wonderful place. You've got, so I was asking you before why people, there is a certain segment of society that apologizes for billionaires and they think other people don't deserve stuff. Is that a mentality you've come across?
No, that's a new one on me. I don't know many people that apologize for billionaires, and I don't see why you would.
They could be bots.
You know, the whole, we're living in a billionaire economy now, and the billionaire economy is not interested in their workers. They're interested in their share price. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for that, because I think one of the things that's driving this strike that this union is having now against Starbucks is the fact that, you know, there was a survey done a couple of years ago, maybe more like a year ago, of the top 500 companies in America. And they were rating it, the employees were rating it for burnout, exhaustion, and depression. And out of 500 companies, Starbucks was rated in the top five worst for that. And it's that kind of lack of respect for workers. Right now, you know, Pete, I think that the working class and low-wage workers are under assault by that billionaire class you're talking about. And it's so stupid, because for very little money, they could treat their workers so much better. And there's some kind of a mentality. I have zero sympathy for billionaires, to be honest with you. Right. So I'm hoping that if you see the film, you'll see why these workers are now on strike in 85 cities across the country. And I think you'll see why the mayor-elect of New York and Bernie Sanders was on their picket line last week and made a lot of news. And I think we're really at a turning point where the what's so inspiring to me is seeing these young people. One of the heroes of the film is 19 years old when she confronts Howard Schultz, who comes into town for a special meeting to try to crush the union. And she pretty much crushes him. And it's just amazing to see. I don't think I would have signed on to the movie if it wasn't for the fact that the young people organizers, at least in Buffalo, are really the ones who get it together.
That's great. Wow. You've done some great stuff, Glenn. The War at Home, the Matthew Shepard story. You also were either one of the creators or contributors to this show I remember back from the late 80s called West 57. I think Bob Surratt was the host. How is journalism or news magazines like that? How has that changed?
Well, that was the luckiest break in my life. You know, I had just had my first child, and I had a break when I was back in New York showing him off, and someone offered me to come and interview for West 57th. It was pitched on CBS News as a hip 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
And Bob Surratt, who was from Chicago, was kind of a DJ. But we also had Meredith Vieira. Later on, Steve Croft joined. And boy, I really didn't know how good I had it, because I'd hear I'd been a radical filmmaker up to that point for like 15 years, and I was barely making my rent. And all of a sudden, someone said, well, do you want to go interview at CBS for this new show? Now, you got to imagine, Pete, I hadn't had a TV since I left home as a teenager. And I thought the bubble over my head is, what am I going to do at CBS? Like the windows? And it turned out I was really good at that. And I rode that wave for 20 years in between my documentary careers. And I'm amazed you actually mentioned that show, because it was, I won an Emmy, my first Emmy for the show is the first Emmy for a show when I was, and I was also the only one living in Los Angeles, which was such an advantage. Everyone else was back at the mothership in New York. I did this piece on children of the homeless called Homeless in America, Suffer the Children. It was like a four hanky piece, and it just rocked the world at that moment to show the changing nature of, you know, being homeless in America.
Wow.
You've so also, I was really proud to be on that show. Yeah.
Yeah. You're also Oscar nominated. You've got a host of awards and did some great work for PBS, 60 Minutes, 2020. just a phenomenal career. I would love for you to come back sometime, Glenn, and discuss more in detail some of the cool things you've done. But I really appreciate your time tonight. And for those of you listening in the Madison area, check out Baristas versus Billionaires this Wednesday and Thursday night at the Barrymore in Madison. It sounds like a great time, and I hope you have a great turnout.
Well, thank you. And I can just promise, if you come to the show, it may be cold outside, but you leave inspired and feeling really warm inside. It's that kind of movie.
Conrad, does that sound familiar? I just did that. But Glenn, we had a
screening.
We had a screening of a film I did last Thursday, and I think I said the same thing on social media. The Atwood Music Hall will be warm with laughter, but it's freezing outside, so I hope you get...
That's where I found that line. Anyway, I just want to mention also, we're going to have a panel discussion afterwards stage with several of the baristas who are on strike right now, and I'll be happy to be part of that.
Outstanding.
On both nights.
Knock 'em dead, Glenn. I hope you have a great turnout, and don't be a stranger. Would love to talk to you again sometime.
Anytime you want.
All right. That's Glenn Silver. Check out Baristas versus Billionaires at the Barrymore, a wonderful, awesome location. I've hosted many a Q&A there myself during the Wisconsin Film Festival, a great venue, especially for a film like this. So we've got Bob Dennis coming up next. We're going to talk a little bit of Mob. Did you know the Mob has a connection to Christmas, Conrad?
Really?
Yeah, and Wisconsin. Uh-huh. We're going to get into all that when we come back. Terry Ryan from the 414 says Brian's Song is her favorite football movie. That's a good one. Wow. Terry Ryan. That's Jerry Ryan I'm thinking of. Thank you, Terry. And then 608 says The Replacements. That's Pamela in Madison, our pal Pamela. Thank you, Pamela. Mike from Moscata in the 608 says Heaven Can Wait. Another vote for Heaven Can Wait. That's a great one. And Terry again says Yuengling is a great beer and a great sailboat. Wow, that sounds like a whole different topic. All right, fantastic. We're coming right back after the news with Bob Dennis and some Mob talk. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me, folks. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We are broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a what is supposed to turn into a snowy night here in northeast Wisconsin. Con, how are we doing with that weather forecast for Madison?
You know, it is going to snow in Madison tomorrow and in Milwaukee, so
really?
I don't expect it as bad as here, though.
Well, they are far south. I love when people around here, like people used to do this. When I would go to Chicago... When I lived in Marinette and I'd meet other students, they'd go, oh, you're from Marinette? Oh, you're way up there. It's like, you know, it's not like Chicago's the tropics. You know, it's all cold, bitterly cold here in the Midwest. So we just get used to it.
You know, the strange part about it is that if you watch the weather maps, when systems come in, oftentimes they will go north and south of Green Bay. They'll split. And like Door County and areas north will be just inundated with snow. And the valley will get it. But Green Bay will be like, we'll let them get
That's
a pass.
That's how it's been with Marinette lately. We've been like 2 to 3, I say I don't pay attention to weather, but I do, 2 or 3 degrees warmer than Green Bay. And we've missed a lot of the snow that's come south of us, which I don't ever remember it being like that. That is the voice, by the way, of Bob Dennis, who joins me now in the studio. Bob is a very successful podcaster and knows more about the mafia and the mob than most of us have forgotten in a lifetime. I think that's how that
You're putting
goes.
A hit out on me, aren't you?
I don't have it in me, Bob. There's a lot of people. Listen, I want to take out a ton of people, but you are certainly not one of them. And I hope I'm not one on your list either.
Oh, absolutely not.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. By the way, this is the, I think, 7th time I've been on here
with you. That true?
Yes. Yes.
Conrad?
Purple jacket, you know, cigar, something.
We got to do something. Like, wow, I feel, okay, that's 7th time. I've barely got 7 appearances on this show. So, well, either way, it's good to have you here. Do you have a favorite football movie?
Not really. I mean, I enjoy football movies. I mean, you know, they're fun and whatnot. The hokiest one, of course, is the one about with Ronald Reagan as Newt Rockne.
The Gipper.
Yeah, the Gipper. You know, go out there and do it. The story wasn't even true the way it was. You know, it's a, go out there and score one for the Gipper. Well, go out there and score one of those, you know, things you throw over the end zone there.
Say, okay. That's pretty good, Reagan.
Well, you know.
Yeah, that's a pretty good Reagan. And actually, how you just said that, you're actually a better actor than Reagan. You remember they took a shot at him in the movie Airplane?
Yeah.
The woman's getting sick to her stomach. She says, oh my God, I haven't felt this awful since I saw that Ronald Reagan movie. He actually wasn't a terrible actor.
Well, he was a good B-string movie kind of guy.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Errol Flynn would always be the number one guy. And Ronald Reagan would always be like best friend or something else.
Yeah.
When he ran for governor, that was the joke. The first time he ran was somebody had made the statement that Ronald Reagan was going to run for governor. They said, no, Errol Flynn for governor, Ronald Reagan for lieutenant governor.
That's great. Well, he ended up doing okay for himself. Yeah, kid from Eureka, Illinois?
Yeah.
I think somewhere
Dixon,
around.
Actually.
Dixon, Illinois, yeah.
Which is just like Eureka, but that's, yeah. You know, it's...
Not too bad. Yeah. We've got already, Bob, you've been here 3 minutes, and we've got a stream comment from our pal Terry Barr, who says, hey, Bob.
Hey,
Terry. His lovely wife was once my boss. Small world. Tell us about your wife, because she just retired after a lengthy career here in Wisconsin, and I still haven't had her on the show yet.
I think she'll come on. Okay. I can talk about her now because she's retired. She never wanted me to talk about her.
Give us
while
the dirt, man.
She was there's no dirt on her. That's the thing.
That's what I hear, actually.
She has always been dedicated to news. She is the journalist with a capital J.
Yeah.
She was wonderful with writing. She was wonderful with coming up with ideas. She was terrific with management. She kept her newsroom on budget, never with a variance of more than 2%. Try doing that with any budget.
Oh, wow, really?
And hired terrific people who ended up getting jobs, you know, on the networks. Bill Weir from CNN.
Oh, sure, I remember Bill Weir.
And a couple other folks as well. And always, she took it from a station that when it became Fox at that time, everybody went, oh, we're not going to work for Fox. And they left.
Hmm.
And she had an anchorman and a part-time weather guy, and that was it.
Real now, what year are we talking about here?
Oh, that would have been back in the 80s.
Okay, because Rachel Manick is a friend of mine, and she's been on this show, and I love her, and she's had me on their show a couple times. She's been there a long time. I would imagine she's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
She put together the team and the concept. As a matter of fact, I probably shouldn't say it on the air, but when they decided to do the morning show, Julie was the one who said, "Okay, morning show is boring right now. TV shows are just horrible. We've got to make it fun and interesting." So she said, let's do radio with pictures. And so she brought in people to be personalities and to talk. And she had Pete Petoniak become the weather guy on the morning show. And he's
been there a long time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He, as a matter of fact, he became a weatherman and then got his certification and his degrees while working tremendously hard at the TV station, working and going to school.
And I've heard he's so good, he can predict, he can change the weather. Have you ever heard that?
No, I hadn't heard that, right. But he is awesome. He's a wonderful man. Absolutely wonderful man. So anyways, she I took it from no ratings at all, zero, bottom of the barrel. And people in the other stations would tease about, well, you're just that station, you know, you're never going to go anywhere. And she would tease them and say, yeah, I'm just that little Fox station on the wrong side of the river. And now it is like the dominant television station in Northeast Wisconsin. She's very accomplished in everything she's done. She's an Emmy winner. I'm very, very proud of her. She's worked so very hard.
Yeah.
And she has a reputation that she doesn't even realize because she kept her head down and worked hard.
Just did the
work. And yet she could pick up a phone and call somebody and they'd be there in a minute. All right, inside story.
Yeah. First of all, give us her full name.
I don't know that she's going to be mad at me just for talking
You just said she'd come on the show, but she's...
Well,
really,
you know, it's...
I have to have her on, you know? Like, I mean, with an AKA?
Listen, she's the smarter half of the team, okay? Well, so I'm not maybe, you know, I mean, she did TV, I did radio.
She's
know?
Smarter than you. You're like one of the most well-read guys I've ever had on this show.
Yeah, but I got
Conrad
nothing else. I got no depth, you know? You know?
All right, fair enough. So tell us your story.
So anyways, there was a network, and I'm not going to say the name of it, that because everything with the draft was done by was NBC or somebody was the main draft network. One of the other networks is like, I have to have something. I've got to have some kind of presence. And they called her up and said, what can we do? And she let them take a couple pictures from a long shot from their field house over on Lombardi. So they had a money shot just to show that they had, you know, some kind of presence there.
Sure.
And by the way, that was also her idea, is to buy one of those houses long before people started.
Over by the stadium?
Yep.
Oh,
if
really?
If you go over to the front door or the front gate there, you know where they have the statues in front of the main entrance there where they've got...
Yeah.
If you turn and look directly across the street, north, there's a yellow house there, and that's the Fox 11 field house.
Oh,
and
really?
And she and the man who's the general manager, Jay Zoller, the two of them had such a great relationship working together that they made it happen. Hmm. Jay was like, that's a great idea. Let's do this. And kudos to him because, you know, he could have said, nah, we're not doing that.
Right.
You know, and they bought it for whatever they bought it for.
How long ago was that?
Oh, golly, I can't, no idea off the top of my head. I do know that it's worth probably three times what they paid for it.
Oh, I don't know what they paid for it, but those
houses are through the roof.
And for 8 weekends a year.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of playoff games.
Well, and there
it's
are
crazy.
Places over there. There's one of the condos over by behind Lambeau on the west side there that was just put up for sale. Again, you know, 8 weekends out of the year.
Wow.
For like $1.5 million.
Come on.
It's like, yeah.
Conrad, let's go Habs.
I don't know.
You're a Packer fan. Come on.
You got 95% of it. I got the other 5.
Yeah, right. Well, that's pretty cool.
I'd shovel the walkway if you'd let me just stop in.
We'll let you hang out. We'll pal around, Bob. First of all, I want to go on record here and say I'm very proud that I did not make a money shot joke, that I created that phrase, because I'm way too mature for that. He's looking. He doesn't even know what that means.
I don't.
All right, and Bob might not. I'm on an island here. Am I the only guy with a disgusting mind? Okay.
Yes.
Bob Dennis is here. He is in the studio. Love when Bob's here. We talk mafia. We talk urban legends sometimes. We're talking about the game. Now, what did you do for the game yesterday?
Well, and this is another thing that we need to talk about, is that I made my famous 3-bean homemade chili. Oh. You may want me to go in and sit with Conrad after a while. Okay? I'm just saying, okay? May not be good for him.
You're going to hotbox him over there in the little...
let's close the door. How long can you hold your breath, Conrad?
I'll let you know if it gets too bad.
And this shows us why we are armchair quarterbacks. Because I was sitting there, and Keyshawn Nixon.
Yeah.
2 penalties, 15 yards each, 30 yards, 3 points put up on the board. And I am just livid. I am just absolutely out of my mind. He shouldn't be in there. He shouldn't be playing. Every time they go
cut
on
him.
There, every time they go on that right side, they're getting yardage. They're making plays, and Nixon's nowhere to be found. And I'm going on and on talking about how bad he is. And my wife, again, the intelligent one, says, "He's back in the game, hon." And I was like, "Oh, that can't be. We're going to lose." If he hadn't been put back in the game, we'd have lost.
Or the Bears would have at least maybe tied it. Maybe
they'd have done something. But
something.
You know,
he saved the day though, for sure.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Is he a good player, Con, typically?
I think he's just a little hot-headed sometimes, but I think he's fine.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's discipline.
Yeah.
When you get penalties, I've been involved in a lot of football over the years.
Yeah.
When you get penalties, it's because of discipline. It's not because you're a bad player. It's not because you're not smart. It's because you're not disciplined in what you do. If you do and you hold yourself and you know what you should and shouldn't do how you can do it and what you can get away with, you know— And then the thing is, once a referee sees you make a mistake or an error and you get a penalty, they're watching you the rest of the game.
They're watching like a hawk,
And it's the old story about seeing the second foul. Doesn't matter who did the first one.
Right.
The guy who did the second one is the one who's seen.
I remember when I played football, like in middle school, and someone would hit me and I get mad. I want to fight them, you know, like, no, that's the game, idiot. Like, what are you're supposed to do that?
Control
the anger. Not doing anything wrong,
War without bloodshed is what it's
exactly.
Can I do something real quick here?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I would like to do a shout out to some folks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, who are listening to Civic Media Stations.
All right,
at,
even better.
WMPX in Madison.
And that MDX,
That is Chris and Nancy in there at WAUK in Milwaukee. Mike is listening there. WXCO in Wausau. Tom is listening there. In WFHR, we have Pat and Les, who are actually in Buren, who are listening, and Gretchen, who is aware as well. And then the Tap 93.5 in Eau Claire. Goody is listening in there online. Our good buddy Des up in Dawes up in Marinette Menominee.
Dawes, sure.
And then our friends Craig Knitt, Dan Wheeler, David Kelso, and all the folks from the 92.
You know all those guys too?
Well, they paid me.
All right, that's all the time we have tonight, Bob. No, that's you're spread out. You know everybody around the state. That's fantastic.
Well, not really. You know, well, that's, you owe money to people, and they know where you are.
You're bringing the listeners, Bob, and that's I appreciate that. So, well, let's get into. We've got a couple minutes or about a minute or so before we have to do a break. But I love talking mob stuff with you. We've had some great discussions. I wouldn't say I'm a fan of the mafia. But I'm fascinated.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm fascinated.
You never talk to me without bringing up the mafia.
So what do you know, Bob? What's the rumpus? So let's do that. Actually, we'll do a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk with our pal, Bob Dennis. He's here in the studio for the 7th time.
You should lock the door.
Is that a record? Conrad, is that a record? Let's go to
Google. I think he might be up there, because Emerson Lehman's been on the show quite a bit, too.
Yeah, that's true. All right, take a memo. We'll do this. We're coming back with Bob Dennis at Speech Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. And my guest at the moment is Mr. Bob Dennis. This is his 7th time here, folks. So he's a keeper. We're talking often, well, we haven't gotten to it yet, but we love to talk mafia. As I said, I'm not a fan, but I am fascinated by the organization, whether we're talking about the Chicago Outfit or the New York Five Families or whatever it is. It's always fun to talk mafia with you, Bob. And I'm been looking for a connection to Northeast Wisconsin, like just a hitman or not necessarily a capo or a godfather mafia don, but you know, at some point there had to have been mafia people here. But I can't find any evidence of them.
It's not okay. A part of the thing with, specifically with mafia and I don't, okay, I'll just say it.
You said this is a place people come, not a place people come from, but a place people go to.
Correct.
Which I thought was interesting and very true.
Yes, it's a place where people who are members of the mob or the mafia or whatever would come to vacation or to get away to be safe somewhere. And Door County was very popular because you just left from Chicago, you know, stopped off in Milwaukee, gassed up, maybe stopped in Sheboygan, you know, and then headed up to Door County. And there is a couple restaurants up there that are known to have had previous visitors from Chicago.
Yeah, you mentioned the Shipwreck Cafe, the Shipwreck Pub in Egg Harbor. I love Egg Harbor. That's typically where we go. Tell us about the Shipwrecked Pub.
Well, years ago, it's been in existence since the late 1890s, I believe it was. And over the years, they had mafia people who would stop, specifically like Capone and other people. Yeah. And there were escape tunnels underneath the restaurant. You would go down and there was this big door and there were two tunnels you could go out, one of which went sort of north, which was across the street. There was a gas station there for many years and they would store cars there so you could get in the cars and you could leave in a hurry if you had to. The other one, if you went to the west, led to a barn, which also had cars in and they could take off from there so they could avoid being captured. Now, those tunnels have since been filled in because of all the work they did on the highway and trying to...
That's sad. That would be a tourist trap, I would think.
Oh, yeah. In St. Paul, they have that. You know, you can take the...
Really?
Yeah, the tours of the mafia and mob tunnels.
Yeah.
So they're still very popular.
That's so cool. I would love to see those. I know the best, and we'll talk more about Door County too, but the best connection I could find was a place in Pembine called the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. Rumor had it was mafia owned. It certainly was not when I ate there about 20 years ago because the service was terrible and we didn't get our meal that they didn't bring us comped. Say what you want about the mob. When I would go into a restaurant like in Chicago or Milwaukee, I knew if it was mob owned because the service was great. Mm-hmm. And they would come over and it would always be a guy like, I remember we were in this place in Chicago after a funeral and we ordered my parents and me, a good friend's mom had passed away, and we ordered drinks. And this guy comes over in a suit and he pours a bunch of oil on the plate and gives us bread. And he goes, here you go, folks. It'll help you soak up some of the booze. Like, okay. But the service was always great. And this place in Pembine, it's changed hands many times. But I thought, I don't think this is mob-owned.
Well, and there is a place, I sent a note to you. I don't think I have it with me now, just off of Lake Winnebago, Couderay, down in Couderay. There is a restaurant bar down there, which supposedly still has bullet holes in it in the wall from when... there was some time a confrontation,
really,
with the mafia.
Other than the ship, okay. So the ship now, is that still there? That must have been mob owned, right? Because nobody's going to do the mob a favor, I would think, and add tunnels unless it was mob owned. Or am I wrong?
No. That would have been a legit business, and they would have done, you know, the money and the investment themselves, because that was like insurance. I mean, they had nothing but cash. So go up there, build a way to get out. If that was a favorite place, you did that. And they did that with a lot of places in Chicago, in Milwaukee, in Minneapolis and St. Paul, in any of the major cities, in New York. I mean, yeah. You know, they're everywhere. And it's just like, okay, you know.
But when you say it was a legit business, you're saying that the people that owned it were legit and not in the mob, and they built the tunnels for the mob?
No. The people who owned the business.
Right.
And they minded their own business, you know.
Sure.
But when the mafia or the mob would come up there, they'd say, you know, it'd be good if we had a way to get out of this place at night. And they'd check it out. And they would pay for the installation of a door to a tunnel that would lead out
what
of the building.
Heck?
I mean,
really?
that was not uncommon.
So they go to the legitimate business owners and say, mm-hmm. we'd like to build a tunnel.
We love the food here. We'd like to help you out. We'd like to be here more often. You know, we would like to make a little investment. You know, what are you going to say? No.
I don't know what. Yeah. That's a puzzler, because you'd go, well, I don't see any harm with that, honey. They want to build tunnels.
Yeah, like, you know, what harm it's kind of fun, you know, in case there's a storm or something, we can go down there, you know.
Right. So, all right. So after the news, we're going to do the news, and I'd like you to stick around if you could, mm-hmm. Bob, because we've got a really, I'm going to tell you via Bob something that the mob had their hands in. That will remind you, it might shock you because Christmas is right around the corner, but they had their mitts in the Christmas business of sorts. And I'll tell you what that was after we do the news. And we've got Text to Win coming up again next hour, folks. I'll give you the keyword of that. And then, Con, what else do we have? We've got, am I caught up on texts?
We got a couple new ones that came in.
What are we looking at here? We got Terry's. Oh, Terry said, you wouldn't even give me your wife's name, Bob. And here Terry Barr is on the stream, says, I was there when we switched to Fox. It was a terrific challenge led by Julie, the best.
Everybody, you will not find anyone who will say anything bad about her, other than the fact that she expected you to be your best.
Does your wife speak as highly of you as you speak of her?
I wouldn't think so.
Okay. Craig on the stream says, Bob, we need to chat about some of the mob hangouts up north. Folks I might have been related to. I knew it. He says, might have run moonshine in the state. Also, Big Lou tells you better shut your yapper. And then Craig says, also Big Lou says he's a fan of The Blind Side with Quentin Aaron. Is that Big Lou? Is that a thing? Or is that Craig's alter ego?
Well, I'm not saying anything anymore. I'm already in trouble.
You'd be well served.
Let's just say the name was Craig Anthony Kinnett. Okay, I'm just saying it.
That's right. Okay. Very well done. All right, we're going to come back and tell you what the mob is involved in. We got the text to keyword coming up, and we're talking Wisconsin Historical Society at 7:35. Bob Dennis is here, folks. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Every time
that you call. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.